I'll give you a lesson for new priests. Our liturgical calendar is very complicated, really. And I prepared a homily based on the sixth Sunday of Matthew, which is very brief, and I'll read it. But then when the deacon came out, he's reading a different gospel selection because it's the feast day of St. Elias. So I'm standing there at the altar and I'm thinking, oh no, my homily is based on a completely different gospel lesson. But that's okay. It all works, right? Life is fluid. Life is fluid. You have to roll with the punches. What I want to talk to you about this morning is very serious. I want to talk to you about anger. Anger. Not just the, oh, they cut me off in traffic and I'm a little irritated, or maybe I say a bad word. Yes, we shouldn't do that. That's one kind of anger. I'm talking about that anger that takes root in your soul and begins to be corrosive, that begins to take over your life because you have, rightly or wrongly, a sense of injustice of something that may have happened to you, perhaps in the distant past, or perhaps not so distant. That anger can destroy a life. I have seen it personally. The gospel lesson that I prepared this homily on is Matthew chapter 9. It's the beginning of Matthew. And I'll just read the first couple of verses. At that time, getting into a boat, Jesus crossed over and came to his own city. And behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on his bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven. Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven." Let me tell you a story about a man I knew in the neighborhood in which I grew up. He was married, had a couple of kids. Nice guy, a lot of fun. But boy, could he get angry. In being around him and talking to him, I realized that some of it came from his parents, that he perceived, rightly or wrongly, that he had suffered a degree of neglect on both of their parts. And now as a man, he still had frustration and anger and bitterness issues. But he didn't really know that that's what he had. It was after being around him and listening and talking to him that I began to be able to put the pieces together. The man was a family member, so I had insight. I mean, to give you an example of how angry he could become over nothing, we were over there one night, and I think he was doing his taxes, and I know that's upsetting enough by itself, but he was having trouble with the calculator. I don't know if the tape was... We were watching TV. I could hear him in the room in his office. I don't know if the tape was jamming or the buttons didn't work. I don't know what, but I just remember hearing a lot of noise, and then I remember him going outside, and the next thing I heard was, boom! He had shot it with a gun. He'd taken this calculator out in the backyard, put it on the ground, and shot it. Now, I have been that angry. Believe me, I understand. We all laugh. We have all been that angry. I get it. But, you know, I went home thinking, gee, that's a little odd, wasn't it? I mean, that was kind of extreme. I mean, buy another calculator. Why do this? It's funny to talk about it, but as I watched the arc of his life, it really became sad and sadder. Because this anger, this bitterness, this wound that he felt he had suffered, and I think perhaps he had to some degree, but he might have been a little sensitive too, right? His parents, they lived in a different time, in a different place. And I did know them, but I don't know what it was like 50 years ago where they were. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know. But what I do know is I could see what that anger did to my friend's life. It consumed him. Now, whether he let it or couldn't change, I'm not sure. But it consumed him. And he ended his life alone. Alone and pathetic. And he had been married and had kids. Alone. And he wasn't happy. He was not happy. Take heart, my son. Your sins are forgiven. What does it mean to be forgiven? It means to be healed. Well, what does it mean to be healed? According to Orthodox Christianity, to be healed is to be restored to the original image and likeness of God in which you, all of us were created. That original likeness and image. It's not just a code of ethics, or of not saying bad words, or not doing bad things, although that's important. It's a fundamental transformation of our deep inner heart and core. The fathers call it metanoia, or repentance. It's a change of heart. It's a focus on others and God and not ourselves. That's what healing is. Why can some people not find this healing? I don't know. I ask myself that many times on behalf of my friend. Why could he not let the anger go? I mean, come on, he was miserable and he knew it. He had to see it every time he looked in the mirror. He had to know. Why couldn't he let it go? Why wouldn't he let it go? I wonder if at some level that anger had become such a part of his core, such a part of his identity. You know, we have this narrative we tell ourselves constantly about who we are, where we are, where we're going, these things, how good we are, how bad we are, whatever. Maybe I'm the only one. We have this story, this narrative, this understanding. And I think this event or events that happened in his life became so fundamental to his core that he just couldn't let it go, even though it was ruining him. Ruining him. If you want an example from Scripture of what it's like for those, or could be like, for those who are angry and can't let it go, look no further than the immediately preceding gospel text. All right, what I read to you was Matthew 9, verses 1 through 8. What if you go to Matthew 8 and read the end of it? It's about the Gerasene demoniac. Right, Jesus and the disciples, they come across the Sea of Galilee, they get off the boat, and there's this nut living in the tombs. And if you read the different gospel lessons of this person, he was very angry, he was restless, he shouted, he hurt himself, he hurt others, and guess what? He was all alone and miserable, living in the caves, in the tombs, all by himself. Ugh. Who wants that, right? Who wants that? Who in their right mind would want that? But this person did at least come and worship Jesus Christ. When Christ got off that boat, this man came down and worshiped him. And if I'm one of the disciples, I'm going, because they knew, they could see the guy was naked. He had the chains that had been put on him that didn't work because he broke them, right? I mean, this was a very awkward situation. But the guy came and worshiped him. And what did Jesus do? He healed him. All he did was, you know, Lord, help me. I mean, we don't know what he said. Lord, help me. And Jesus did. He healed him. And then the passage says, the next thing you know, the guy is sitting at his feet, clothed in his right mind, calmly and patiently listening to Jesus preach or talk, just like Mary, the sister of Lazarus. You remember that? The story about the two sisters. Martha's busy in the kitchen. She's mad at Mary because Mary's sitting there listening. Right? So this guy, boom, he turns into a Mary. Just like that. Christ restored him back on the path of where he needed to be. Calmness. Peace. Serenity. Why is it so hard to let go of anger? And I'm talking about that deep fundamental anger, not, again, just that passing frustration. Listen, anger can be like a small band-aid we put on a large emotional wound. Think about that. Anger can be a small band-aid that we put on a big emotional wound. Now, it covers it. It covers it, but the wound still bleeds. It still gets dirty. It probably gets infected. It gets worse because it's not being treated properly. And I think deep down, the angry person knows that. They're certainly aware of that wound, and they know this band-aid they've put on it, it's not really working. But what happens when you take a band-aid off? Ouch. That hurts. Nobody wants to pull that band-aid off because it's gonna hurt. You're gonna have to expose that wound to somebody, to a doctor, to a priest, something. You're gonna have to pull that band-aid off, and we don't want to do it because we know it's gonna hurt. But if we don't, the wound gets worse and creates more pain, and guess what that means? More anger. And it becomes this cycle of pain, anger, pain, and anger. And meanwhile, what's happening to all of our relationships? Who wants to be around an angry person? Especially some nut who's going to take a calculator out in the backyard and shoot it with a gun. Come on. I mean, it's one thing to laugh at, but another thing, you know, I'm not going back over there for a while. Pain, anger, pain, and anger. Ugh, it's much of our life these days, isn't it? We have to face it. If we come to Christ, if we come to Him, just like the demon-possessed man, if we come to Him quietly, privately, say, Lord, I have this wound. I have these wounds. I have this pain. I have this anger. Help me. Heal me. He will. He will help you start on that process. But you've got to be willing to take that band-aid off. You've got to be willing to do that. And in the process, Christ will help you discover your true identity. Not one based in this anger, not a false idea or narrative created on what you think did or didn't happen. He will help you find your true self, the self you were created in the garden to be. A self that calmly and quietly sits at His feet and listens to Him. If you come to Him and ask for healing, Jesus Christ will tell you the same thing He told the paralytic. Take heart, my child. Your sins are forgiven. Think about it.